I want to invite you to focus with me on the message this morning. As we prepare our hearts and our minds, would you bow with me in a word of silence? Amen. The gospel according to Mark is a hidden gospel. Today's gospel lesson is a great example of this. In Mark's version of the story of the Transfiguration, Jesus goes up on the mountain, and there on the mountain the cloud descends, and in front of Peter, James, and John, Jesus is transfigured, glowing white. And the time comes when they are to go down the mountain, and Jesus says to his disciples, "Don't tell anyone." How can you not tell anyone? But these were Jesus' instructions, and we see this in the Gospel of Mark time and time again. Now, one of the lessons that I'm going to take from this, when Jesus says, "Here's what happened, here's the miracle, here's the transfiguration, here," and every time Jesus says, "Now, quiet, don't tell," the lesson that I get from this is that Jesus is saying, you got to be ready, and the people need to be ready. When the time is right, then we can talk about these things. Let's talk about when the time is right for our congregation. In this last year, we have been in the heart of pandemic, as has every other church, every other organization, every other business in all of our communities across the globe. This has been so hard to deal with, and it has absolutely changed all of our futures. It has thrown us into so much chaos and has advanced us in timing. It has really sped things up as to where things are going and how things are going to happen. So let's talk about our congregation in the future years. And the way that we're going to do this is by touching backward and going forward. The Gospel of Mark is a hidden gospel. And Jesus said, transfigured, don't tell anyone. This is interesting. In 2 Corinthians come these words. So even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, we don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant. God said, "Let the light shine out of darkness." Here's what I know. In the history of our churches, in the history of our congregation, certainly, whenever the Word of God has come into communities, for many people, that word is veiled. They don't see it, they don't hear it, they don't understand it. And so we, as Christians in our local communities, in our local church, are given the commandment, "Let your light shine in the darkness." This is where I'm going to go with this. Jesus was transfigured. But for many people, the gospel that comes from that is veiled. And we are here to let our light shine in the darkness. Why does Spearfish United Methodist Church exist? Here is our mission statement. Here is our vision statement. We are here to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We do this when we know God, love God, and serve others. This is what we do. We are here making disciples and transforming the world. We are here knowing God, loving God, serving others. But fascinatingly, many people can't see that because yet today the gospel is veiled. And so we get to let our light shine. I want to ask you this question. In the history of our church, what does a pastor look like? And what does a church look like? I want to walk with you through our entire lifetime. 1880s. What does a pastor look like? In Spearfish, in the Methodist movement, a pastor looks like a man with a beard coming down the hill from Lead and Deadwood out of the gold field and in work clothes. And in a rumpled suit, gets to preach on the weekend when best he can. And in those mid-1880s, we began as a congregation. So what does a Spearfish church look like in the 1880s? It looks like three families gathered in a living room talking about the beginning of a church. It looks like a small congregation worshiping in an upper room above the saloon just a couple blocks from here. 1890s. What does a pastor look like? A pastor looks like a man in a worn suit, dark suit, white shirt, and a tie. And on the weekends, we would come in to a brand new church building right here, and the community would see the coal, the smoke from the coal furnace rising up and out. What does a congregation look like? A congregation now looks like 50 people. It now looks like 100 people. It now looks like 200 people. It looks old. It looks young. It looks healthy. It looks sick. It's all of these things. It's community. It's a direct reflection of the community that we now live in. 1900s, 1910s, 1920s. What does a pastor look like? A pastor looks like a man, dark suit, pretty much every day of the week. White shirt, dark tie, most of the time coat, especially always preaching. He looks like a man with a lot of passion, preaching a gospel he feels very passionate about. So what does a congregation look like? A congregation now looks like 200. It looks like 300. It looks like an established congregation that has been here for an entire generation, almost two generations. A congregation that now has a basement. A congregation that is out and involved in the community. 1930s. What does a pastor look like? What does that preacher look like? Ah, let's now call him a minister. What does your minister look like? Because now we are seeing that the education expectations for a minister have increased. We are now seeing more highly trained pastors. We are now seeing seminary graduates that are coming out. We're now seeing higher levels of expectation, higher levels of organization, and the pastor directly reflects that. What does a minister look like? Minister looks like a man in a black suit with a white shirt and a black tie. Minister looks like someone who is frazzled around the edges because it's the 30s. This town around us, Spearfish, never stopped growing, even during the heart of the Great Depression. We were always growing, but there was never two nickels that could be rubbed together and shared. And so that meant that the minister, who now lived right next door where our fellowship hall is, that was where the parsonage was, and that's where his office was. And a minister looked like someone who was marrying people in the living room. And the minister looked like someone who came over here and performed funeral after funeral. And a minister looked like someone who helped coordinate children and youth ministries. It was a wonderful, dynamic time. So what does this congregation look like? In the 1930s, we continued to grow. And one of the reasons we continued to grow was very, very specifically because we were reaching out into the community. We were an integral part. And then the Passion Play began. And we became an integral part of an integral community as the churches bound together. 1940s. Ah. What does a minister look like? A minister now begins to look more like someone who has been more formally educated. We are now past just the prairie preachers. Now we move into a much more formal version of Methodism. And a pastor would look formal in very different ways. And every Sunday we would gather. What does a congregation look like? In the 1940s, this congregation was alive and vibrant, kids out our ears, and again, an integral part of the community. 1950s. What does a minister look like? 1960s. We saw the same. We saw a pastor moving into formality. We saw pastors that were highly engaged, highly skilled. What does a congregation look like? 1950s. Again, vibrant, always vibrant. But what does a congregation look like? A congregation. You know what? Let's talk about this in terms of some of the outreaches and the portions of our ministry. 1940s, 1950s, a congregation here in Spearfish looks like a congregation with a brand new education wing. And in 1955, that education wing went up and we had a new fellowship hall. We were up and out of our basement and we began to fill this in whole new ways. We began with vacation Bible school in whole new ways. We began with Sunday school, youth, children, and adult in whole new ways. In the 1960s, we saw that building began to fill even more. What does it look like? In the 1960s, we saw our building and our facilities. All right, now, what I'm talking about is where were we, where are we, and where were we going? Let's talk about facilities. In the facilities of this church, we began with a simple church building. We dug a basement under it. We added onto it and rearranged. We put an education wing on in 1996. We added and did major remodeling, and now here we are today. What is it going to look like? What is it going to look like in pandemic and out of pandemic? It's going to look very, very powerfully like a well-used building. Our goal as a congregation is to wear this building out. How is it that we facilitate ourselves? Stop and think the difference between 2021 and 70 years ago, back in the 50s or into the 60s, how are our facilities used radically differently? They are used in radically different ways because our children's ministry now has a completely different look. We serve a completely different number in a completely different way. We are able to go off-site so much more. Now we service with our preschools. We are looking in the future. We are looking for those creative ways. How do we meet the needs, not just of our church, of an entire community? And so we will continue to see our church opening and sponsoring blood drives. We will continue to see our church opening and hosting Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. We will continue to see ministries that are servicing inside of our church, Northern Hills Sources of Support, reaching out into our community. Clothe a kid. What does it take not just to keep our congregation vibrant, but this congregation inside as an integral part of the community? And what it means is that we get to use our buildings in powerful, powerful ways, continually renovating and dreaming and creating. What about the 70s? What does it take when you were a pastor in the 70s? A pastor in the 70s looked very different behind the scenes because now you had a whole different political environment as the Vietnam War was in flux, as this community had huge debates, as we saw a whole different personality rising up inside of Black Hills at the university. And we saw people stepping into this church looking for the vibrancy, searching, searching, searching. What does a pastor look like? Well, a pastor would look, a pastor would look like you would expect in the 1970s. What was a congregation? Let's talk about attendance. All the way through our history, every weekend that this church was open, every weekend that there wasn't a blizzard, this sanctuary has filled with people. Sometimes small groups, sometimes large groups, sometimes overflowing groups. There came a point back in the 90s where we were not able to get up and over 200. We just could not hold the average. And so as we saw our church grow, 300 members, 400 members, and we saw that attendance grow up to 200 and then back off, and then we built a new facility and attendance continued to grow, 250, sometimes up and over 300. We watched. What does it look like now? What does a congregation look like now as we are coming up out of pandemic? It looks so amazingly different. Because, of course, we have our three worship services, Saturday night, two on Sunday morning, but we also have the parking lot. And every Sunday, we have people who aren't coming in yet and are out in the parking lot in their vehicles and being safe. We have online worship. Right now, almost half of our worshiping congregation is online. Thank you for tuning in today. So, what will it look like in the future? Well, it's going to look like this. Online is a permanent part of who we are, but now how do we unite those islands? The people Saturday night at 5:30 and the people Sunday morning at 10:30 and the people online are on three different islands. And so one of the things that we are working on in our attendance is how do we broaden that attendance? How do we increase that attendance? And how do we link that attendance into one? You're going to be hearing this and seeing this as we seek to invite, those who are new in our community to grow as a congregation and to meet the needs. Let's keep going. 1980s. What does a pastor look like? Well, I'll tell you what a pastor looks like. A pastor looks like a person who knows that the gospel inside of any community and every community is veiled, and seeks ways to let that light of Jesus Christ shine. This is what we do. So what does it mean then as we try to serve that transfigured Jesus, knowing that the gospel is veiled and that our light has to shine? Well, let's talk about participation. And this means missions. All the way through the life of this church, our life in missions have grown, deepened as we are out in missions to the community in which we are. When we were in the 80s, we began to see international mission come in. And in the decades that have passed, we have seen our mission teams from this church in Mexico, in Lithuania, in Honduras, in Dominican Republic. We have seen our mission teams out to the reservations here in the Dakotas. We have seen old and young. We have seen as participation continues in wonderful and different ways. We've seen participation in studies, in children's ministry, youth ministries. We see these ministries as they continue to go. This is what it means. What does it look like in the future? It means that we remain and continue to be powerfully intergenerational as we seek to meet the needs of any and all who are there. Well, what about the 90s? What does a pastor in the 90s look like? A pastor in the 90s looks like someone who fully understands that the gospel is veiled and that the light has to shine and it's going to come in new ways. A pastor in the 90s now begins to understand what it means to be serving with an internet, who now begins to understand the use of computer and technology. A pastor in the 90s is called in new and exciting ways to seek ways to lift that veil, to communicate Jesus Christ into our community. What does it mean? Well, let's talk about our preschools. It was this congregation that introduced the very first preschool into our community. And for all of these years, that community, that preschool has been here, and now we've introduced the second of the preschools. What does it mean to interact with a community? It means that we are constantly looking out, trying to find what are the most pertinent needs. How is it that we look? What does this mean for our future? It means that we're going to be doing the same thing. It means that we're going to be looking out into our community. Where are the needs? And I will tell you, the needs are massive. When we look at our schools, when we look at our preschools, when we look at the ministry into the community, I want you to be noticing, what is it? What is it that is happening in the community during and after pandemic? As we look into the 2000s, how is it that we are called to serve and to act? We are called to serve and act in ways that are new, in ways that are very, very relevant, looking for, specifically for, the needs in the community. Oh, what does a pastor look like? What does a pastor look like in the 21st century? Well, sometimes that pastor looks very formal. But in so many ways, that pastor sets down the robe, steps into and out of the stole, and steps into ministry just dressed and ready. It means that you take off your tie. It means that you roll up your sleeves and you meet people exactly where they are, because the gospel is veiled. And we are called to help those who are perishing. This is what Scripture says. For us, the gospel is veiled, and it is veiled to those who are perishing. So let our light shine in the darkness. We have challenges, mighty challenges, that are happening inside a pandemic. And here we come out of them in health, in safety. Our sanctuary is opening up. Our nursery is opening up. Our preschools are open. We're ready to go. As we step forward, I want you to be looking and be ready for the challenges that we are facing. A year from now, we're going to look very different as we are examining which ministries are succeeding and which are not, which are our priorities and which are not. We're looking and watching. May it be that you are seeing the future of this congregation in new and different ways. May it be that you are able to see the future of our congregation with you involved, stepping up, stepping in, and being a part. May it be in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we lift up this congregation in all that we have, in all that we are. Lord, guide us. Open our future and help us to walk right in Christ's name. Amen.